In today's world, you never know what's going to happen. I want to make sure you are prepared. So I want you to stock up on food right now. And the way you can do that, the easiest way to do that is go to theammashow.com. Look at the resources. You can have a full supply full of food in your pantry ready to go in case of a job loss or convoys, supply chain issues, business being shut down, war, whatever it is, you're prepared. So go to theammashow.com, click the resource tab, and get your food supply today. Do not wait. Get it today. Hey, I'm so glad you are here. I love to have you a part of the show. Welcome to the Amber May Show. You can find us on Frank's Beach and Rumble and Podbean and all the places, almost all the places, locals. You can find us there. Also, you can find us on theambermayshow.com. Please visit my website. I'd appreciate it. On today's episode, we are talking to General Flynn. Yes, he held a press conference at the Reawaken Tour, and he talked to us about Ukraine and also how we can fight and win back our country. So we are going to learn so much from General Flynn himself. He is such a nice man, wonderful patriot. I have the privilege and honor to have met him, and it's just been a great God experience. So I hope you really like what he has to say, because, you know, there's a lot of fake news out there, and, you know, let's be real. Some of the chat groups we're in are compromised. It's just the name of the game. They know we're there, and they're going to give us disinformation. So we need to find great sources for Ukraine and COVID and election and whatever they want to throw at us, okay? Whatever the soup du jour is, we have to have great information. So today we're going to find out from General Flynn what he has to say about how we win back our country, how we fight, how we succeed, what's up with Ukraine. He's going to tell us all that and more. Please, please support my independent journalism. Go to theammashow.com's website and pick up some swag or some really cool cups that'll help support. Please support my sponsors with MyPillow.com. Go get those towels. They're regularly $109. They are one of the best towels you're ever going to get. So get a stack of those six-piece towel set. Use promo code AMBER. Make sure you go to DrStyleMD.com. Use promo code AMBERMAY. So if you're sick, you want a real doctor to give you real information, get your telemed appointment there. But check out her supplements, especially the sleep one. If you suffer with sleep issues, go see her. Go get those supplements. Hero Soap Company. I am partnering with more and more every single day. I have some meetings set up to give you guys more promos. So always check the links below and go to my website under the promo section, because I am partnering by the day. I have appointments set up with more businesses to help you guys save money. So check that out at theammashow.com. Look at the promo section and or the links below. Hey, I can't wait to see you on Telegram. You can join me on Telegram at the Amber May Show. Join me there. I would love to talk to you there, chat with you. The Amber May Show, find me on Telegram, and we will see what General Flynn has to say coming up. So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to DrStellaMD.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this and use promo code AMBERMAY, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to DrStellaMD.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now, and save money by using promo code AMBERMAY. Hey folks, do you want to get the best sleep of your life? Well, you gotta have sheets that are gonna give you the best sleep of your life. They are super soft, and I'm talking about the MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. So let me tell you a story about that. So I ordered some during the sale that's going on right now. Buy one, get one free. So get some for your house. You're gonna love it. Okay. So I got one from my room, then I got one for my daughter. My son's like, Mom, I want some. I'm like, don't worry, kid, I got you. Anyway, so they arrived and I put in my daughter's room in the package and I told her, hey, I'm going to wash them before we put them on your bed. And she's like, okay, mom. Well, day one goes by. Did mommy get to them? No, I did not get to washing those sheets. So day two gets by and she was asking, mom, I want to get the best sleep of my life. When are you going to wash my sheets? And I'm like, I'm trying to get to it. I will get to it. Just give me some time. I'll try to do it today. Well, that didn't happen either. The next day, I go into her room and sometime in the middle of the night, she opened the package, put it right on top of her bed. It was the cutest thing, right? And I go to wake her up and she's like, mom, I got the best sleep of my life. And I was dying laughing. It was the cutest thing. So if you want to get the best sleep of your life, get the softest sheets in town. And that's the MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. And use promo code AMBER and get up to 66% off on the entire website. But I believe it's buy one, get one free right now. So go check that out.
Anybody have any questions? I'll come over here. So anybody over here? Yes, sir.
My name is Joel Manfredi. I was just a public school teacher in Northern California. I recently resigned. Now I work for Clay Clark. I have a question for you. Do you have any messages for these public school teachers, especially in California, on what they can do to help change things as far as political landscape or these unions, anything like that?
Well, I think that first, public school teachers are under extraordinary pressure. Because that's their job, that's their livelihood. But you really, I think for any teacher of children, especially elementary school, even into secondary and high school, they really have to, you know, look inside of themselves and say, is what we're being told the truth? And what we have learned is that this whole COVID, it's madness, just sheer madness. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things that I just learned over the last couple of days about numbers of people that have died from this, you know, from not only primarily from the age of about 25 to 40, which is not the age that we're talking about with school teachers. But what we're doing is we're impacting children's lives. So, and it's damaging really the psychological and the emotional. And, you know, I have certainly grandchildren in elementary school. And I know that it's affecting them. So it's a personal thing. But I think that the teachers have to learn, right? They have to really dig in. Don't just take what you hear on the mainstream media. I think that Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s book, it's go read it, right? Go read it. I mean, it's a great book. And it's very apolitical, and it goes after the science. And he really lays it out there. And he's been doing this for about 40 years. You know, he's from right up the street here in California. He's right up in L.A. I mean, I would wish that the political leadership of this state would listen to a guy like that, because he's very genuine. He's very authentic, and he's very smart. And he's laid it out. He's laid out the facts. It's a little bit of an attack on Dr. Fauci, but But he lays out, I mean, because of the title primarily, but it's really about all the things that are affecting what's happening in our lives. The one thing for me, it's like, how can an English teacher, and let's just talk just very specifically, how can an English teacher teach phonics to an elementary school child when they're wearing masks? You can't see expressions. You can't see anything. So, you know, and I had... And I just got it today. It actually makes me sad. It's a beautifully done piece of art. But it's my granddaughter sending me a picture of her in a mask. That's how she sees herself. She's beautiful. She's beautiful. And so she sees herself in a mask because of where they're at. And where they're at is the same sort of situation as California. So we've got to stop this. The government knows that they have lost this battle. Okay, the United States government knows they've lost this battle of COVID and everything that surrounds it, because it's a very, you know, healable thing. It's not, doesn't mean that it's not a real thing. It just means that the reaction to it and the response to it has been tragic. And so they know they've sort of lost that battle, that psychological battle that they just beat into us for years, 2 years, right? So anyway, I just think that for teachers, you know, I had great teachers growing up. I know that there's great teachers out there. You know, what you know is true is probably true. I know that we've got these teachers' unions, and these teachers' unions get so affected and so impacted by the United States government, you know, by the Department of Education and on down. So there's a lot of money in this business, a lot of money, and it ain't going into the teachers' pockets, right? It's not going into the teachers' pockets. And maybe there's some people in here that taught. I have a lot of teachers in my family. My sister Barbara's here today. She's 25 years as a teacher, you know, so. I mean, anyway, you know, that may answer a lot of other questions about COVID. So let me go right here. Yes, ma'am.
Amber May.
And I'll jump into the back, too. So don't worry about being in the back row.
I want to ask you your opinion on Russia, Ukraine, being a general. I trust what you have to say versus mainstream media. Mm-hmm. I want to know what your thoughts are on Putin, why you think he's invading. Is there really a bioweapon of America? Are there really Nazis? Like, what would be the reason why he'd invade? What are your thoughts on that? I'm just really curious about that.
Yeah, I mean, for anybody that you know, listens and wants to go dig in, you can go to the Western Journal. Okay, the Western Journal is a great media outlet. Or you can go to my website, generalflynn.com, and I've written 3 articles on this prior. One prior, which had to do with nuclear weapons. And then the last 2 really had to do with how can you stop this? So how can we stop this? And the last one, it's not so much the reasons why, but that got us here, because we're here. That's the reality. We can talk about all the reasons why and beat on ourselves and beat on Russia and all that kind of stuff. But really, now we have to figure out why, or we have to figure out how do we exit? How do we stop this madness? Because in war, mistakes are made, and big mistakes are made. And you can't overcome some of these, because it's not like you and I having an argument about something and then we just walk away. When you start to exchange gunfire and missiles and stuff like that, people are being, you know, brutalized. I mean, war is a really brutal thing. You know, it's not fair. It's not fair. Not meant to be. So, from the perspective, and this is sort of playing out, because the conditions that Putin's already asked for, so the conditions that Russia has stated, and if you didn't watch I haven't watched the whole thing. I just caught snippets of it. But the presentation by the Russian ambassador to the United Nations yesterday about all this biological stuff, okay? So this is part of this. This is where mistakes get made. But I think that what we need to recognize is we need to recognize the national security interests, not only of NATO and the Eastern European countries and the United States of America, particularly from my standpoint as an American. I'm more concerned about what are our national security interests, and do we have any? And then you have to also look at the opposing sides, right? In this case, the Russian Federation. So everybody has national security interests. When I wrote the first article about nuclear war, I did a comparison to the Cuban Missile Crisis, okay, where at the time Russia was basically going to put nuclear weapons in Cuba, and it was a standoff, and it was really one of the first times where we had a very public almost going to nuclear war, right? And there was the back and forth, and if you read any of the history of it, you know, there's not so much that one person, that one country blinked and the other stood their ground. Everybody was able to show a level of toughness, and that's fine, but when you're talking about nuclear war or nuclear weapons, it's a very, very dangerous thing. Okay, remember the bombs that dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki were atom bombs. Okay, we're atom bombs. These are nuclear. okay, which is a totally different effect. Okay, so we're in one of those places where we have the interests of two geographic entities, essentially Europe and Russia and the Russian Federation, that both have nuclear capabilities. And so in the case of the Russian Federation, they're basically saying we don't want to have those things in the Ukraine. So vis-a-vis, we also don't want the Ukraine in any of these talks about joining NATO. Okay, because that's part of what is happening. And you've seen some of the U.S. has backed off on some of that talk, okay? So the issue to solve it is neutrality. Okay, so my suggestion is Ukraine declares themselves to be neutral. These other two breakaway states, right? There's two provinces, states, they call them Donbasses, right? They're provinces, essentially the two eastern provinces, which are for the most part, they're more than 51% Russian citizens, the people that are there, the language that they use. Both those two independent states, they've broken away as independent states. So if you think about, you know, an example of like Czechoslovakia, well, now we have Czech and Slovakia. If you think about Yugoslavia and the Balkans, we now have countries that existed in history, but then after World War II and the growth of both the Warsaw Pact and NATO and the United States, where you had Yugoslavia, but now you have Bosnia, Herzegovina, Montenegro, Kosovo, you have all these breakaways. So this is not unprecedented in terms of having these independent states, and it's a lot of it is history. So neutrality is the big issue, and that's really where I think we're going to end up. That's what the Russians want. I think NATO is starting to recognize that we don't want to have this broaden. So Ukraine probably needs to go to a neutrality. Now the other question is what to do about Crimea. Okay, so Crimea is a part of this, right? So you got to look at historic and geographic boundaries over time. And Crimea, I can tell you that the Ukraine, since the 1950s, they spent a lot of money building up Ukraine to turn it into a port. I mean, it's got a lot of capability there. But the Russians are not going to give that up. So they will go to a larger war over that. So do we want that? And I don't. I don't want any of this war stuff, right? So I think we're going to be part of the greater good, and I hope that that people are willing to step up and get involved more. I met a bunch of people here. I was out surfing with one guy who was running for Congress. He never thought he was going to ever get involved in politics. People that are running for school board never thought they were going to get involved in school boards. I mean, there's a lot of good. There's so much good, and there's so much beauty here in this state. But the people that we've put up in Sacramento, their policies are terrible, and frankly, some of the cities. So, how do you change that? You change that through something called the Republic, right? You get out there and vote. You get out there and vote. You know, I mean, more power to you if you guys think you can do that. But I'm not there. Let me go over this side. Yes, sir.
First of all, on behalf of all of us, God bless you for the work that you're doing for the United States of America.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Sami Messi. I have a Telegram channel called We Walk With God.
Okay.
And I feel like the world is organized currently by the highest bidder, financially.
Sure.
But I feel like it's going to turn into the highest calling, meaning purpose, and for God. And I believe that Mr. Donald Trump is an example of that, choosing calling and purpose to help humanity over money. So I really liked your speech yesterday when you spoke about motivating people from the church and believing
yes.
pastors to go and present themselves for office. My question to you is, how would you discern the real ones from the frauds?
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you overthink your judgment of someone with your brain, then you'll miss the point. And if you just follow your heart or your gut feel, some call it a God feel, your instincts about a person. Leon Benjamin, who spoke earlier today, he's running for office in Virginia. He's running for Congress in Virginia. Man, I would love to see that man on the House of Representatives, right? And he preaches the Constitution like he preaches the Bible. I mean, and because he understands the connection. Otherwise, we wouldn't in this country, we would not have this ability. So I think with President Trump, I think, because he's not, you know, he's not going to sit there. He's like me. We're uncomfortable because your faith is a very intimate thing, like your health, right? Like, mm-hmm. like I joke sometimes, like, ask me if I've had a vaccine. Ask me. It's none of your business. Very intimate to me. Just like my faith is very intimate. Some people are really, they're out there, and you know, and I just think that I'm my middle name is Thomas, you know. So so I think that what Donald Trump did and is doing is he continues to expose things. It's like his son Eric said yesterday. There was no reason for him to jump into this fray. I mean, he had a wonderful life, great life, you know, but he got involved because he just felt so passionate and he saw the direction of the country. So he actually gave us some space.
Yeah.
That's really, all this kind of stuff, all this reawakening stuff, all these other events that we're out there around this country trying to do to just kind of get people involved, that's space that we have right now only because he got involved and won. Had he not, we wouldn't be having these. We'd be in a totally different country. And you all wouldn't be able to have the voices that you have. I'm telling you. You wouldn't. You would not. You would not. So let me jump here.
Caleb Colley with Church and State and Understanding the Threat. How can we be most effective at the local level?
Yeah, so it's a good question. So a couple of things. There's about 200,000, what I understand, about 200,000 committeemen, Republican committeeman positions, okay? But I, part of it is, and I'm more conservative, and I want our country to be pro-America, and I want us to be about America, right? About American values and principles. But there's about 200,000 of these types of local positions that are unfilled across the country. I don't know how many are out here in California or wherever, whatever state you're from, but. So that's number one. Another area is just volunteer to go work at the polls, right? It's typically, like I just did my wife and I, we went and voted on a referendum because they opened up the primaries in Florida, which is where we're residents now. So we went and voted at the polls there, and they were, you know, it's all the sort of like a bunch of retired women, you know, I mean, nice people, you know, super nice. You sit there and you talk to them. But it's got to be, I want to see more young people.
Yeah. Amen.
I want to see more 20-year-olds or, yeah. you know, 25-year-olds. Go and volunteer and get involved and go be a precinct volunteer. They actually do precinct volunteer training. And you go in there and you see how it all works. So instead of griping about whether or not somebody won or didn't win or this election or that election, go see how the process works. Go see how it works. And, you know, I mean, I'm not one of these ones that's, I'm not a bit, I think we should do everything by paper ballot. I think we should do everything by hand. And then if we have more volunteers, and believe me, the American people would come out in droves if we went there and they said, hey, we need additional people to help count, right? Anybody ever been a counter after in a church? Yeah, I've been a counter in a church. You know, after Mass, they get two or three people up there. You get a big batch. You go through and you do pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, right? Dollars, everything. I mean, why can't we do that with our vote? I mean, we do it through these machines. And when anybody tells you that machines aren't connected, they're telling you a lie. Telling you a lie. So, I mean, so anyway, precinct volunteers. The other thing is maybe there's somebody, and maybe it's somebody here. There's somebody that says, you know what, like the kid I was out, the guy I was out surfing with this morning, who's running for Congress. Maybe somebody says, I want to run for county commissioner, or I want to run for the county election board, or I want to run for school board, or I want to run for, or I want to get on the whatever staff, or whatever little committee that a city council has, because they're always looking for people. And typically what happens is the Democrats are really good about this. So one party is actually really good. They're like, this is going to open up. We need you on it. The next thing you know, we have school boards that are filled with a bunch of, you know, you look around the school board and they're all like the one in Fairfax County that they just had. It's up on the internet right now, Fairfax County, Virginia. You haven't seen this one. Anybody seen this one? With the Asian, an Asian woman, I think she's a mom, in front of the school board, talking about this book, Race to the Bottom, which I guess they're giving out in the schools. She's an Asian woman, you know, and she's standing there talking about this, and it's really sad. But then she turns it on them, and he said, and because they're calling her, this is, you know, they're accusing her of being a racist. And she looks around and she goes, you're a white man, you're a white woman, you know, it's like, she goes, you're the racist. And, you know, she turned around, and there's, you know, it's, that's the Asian community. So it's not that, it's not, you know, it's always about the African American community and how they're gonna manipulate different communities of color in this country and ethnicities and turn them against each other. And so, school board, maybe somebody wants to run for school board, right? Or maybe somebody wants to say, well, look, I might even run for mayor, right? Whatever. Whatever the things are that
city
are out there. City council, right? Whatever. I think we have to do that.
Sure.
Okay. Let me go to this woman right back here.
My name's Audra Morgan.
Okay.
Independent, but
speak up just a hair.
I just wanted to know because here for the poll watchers, they actually have to be vaccinated now. And so, do you, if you want to run for, say, city council or a supervisor? So, what, like, how do you get around that? I mean, so it's their way of, you know, making sure that.
Yeah, but I don't know the details. But that's where it's like, I wish Tom Renz was here. Tom Renz, who just spoke a little while ago.
He's great.
He's fighting these kinds of battles. I mean, there's so many of them around the country because of these stupid rules, right? So that's a bit of a legal battle because, you know, if you sued the town or county or city or whatever and said, look, again, it's none of your business what I've done, but if I did or didn't, or maybe I have a religious exemption. We just finally had a federal judge that upheld his ruling about the DOD, right, with religious exemptions. So it doesn't always have to be about religious exemptions. It's about whether or not it's about your own freedom. That's the whole thing with the truckers' convoys here and in Canada, and the battle. They have lost this battle. They have lost it because we now know the truth, right?
Right.
But they're, you know, I mean, the newest meme, and maybe I'll show it this afternoon. It was sent to me this morning. I got to have a sense of humor, right? The newest meme is the mask goes over your eyes so you don't have to see the price of gas. Okay?
Woo!
I mean, it's so funny. It's like it's going around the internet, right? The mask on your eyes, so you don't have to see the price of gas. So let me go right here to this one.
Sandra Hicks with Hearthstone Network. This is a different kind of question, but from what you know of Washington, D.C., do you think Hillary Clinton and her gang will ever face the courts?
Yeah, accountability. I don't, you know, I do believe that in John Durham's filing, so the special counsel, John Durham, what's interesting to me is, I don't know if he's filed anything recent. I mean, I know he did an argument because the Sussman guy wanted to dismiss his case, and so he argued, and I think that's still pending, but I don't think that's going to fly. But in his first big filing, the Clinton found, these are important little details that you got to look for. And if you ever want to really hear a really sound analysis, anytime Kash Patel is talking, listen to him. Okay, he's very smart about this, especially about this issue. But in the first big filing that Durham filed, I think the number of times the Clinton Foundation was mentioned was like 41.
Wow.
Okay? And it was a filing that was a little bit unusual because it was longer than just saying we're indicting this person for these things, right? So it was a lot longer. It was an explanation that began to lay out a strategy. So I think he was doing that as much for the American people as he was for the court, for the judge. So the second filing that he put in, the same sort of theme, the number of times that the Clinton Foundation was mentioned was 18 times. So it's very clear that entity is in the target sites, okay? And so how that plays out, I don't know. The bigger question is, will anybody ever be held accountable? I mean,
yeah.
You know, you got...
Yes.
you got to believe, you got to just believe that in, you know, in the eyes of God, you know, I mean, who knows, you know, I mean, I just can't see, that our country can continue without somebody being held accountable that's not, you know, in Trump's orbit, right? I mean, or a conservative. I mean, it's like all these different organizations, people, and frankly, people inside of that were in the government or outside the government now, and you know all the likely suspects and names. At some point in time, they're going to be held accountable. You know, and I will say, you're either going to be held accountable here on Earth, or you're going to be held accountable at some other place that you're going to end up. And those that don't believe, and many of these people don't. Okay, now they'll pretend. Okay, they'll pretend. And those people are soulless. Yeah. And if you've ever met somebody who's soulless, which I have, you almost, you know, somebody, you know, it's like you get the heebie-jeebies, right?
Yeah.
And you feel that. You can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel it. And you get almost like, man, you walk away from something like that, you just say, God, I'm glad I was able to get away from that, because I just feel like this, I don't know, I just feel it. You know, so, but those, there's, the removal of God is a function of what we're facing.
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen.
So anyway, Amen. Let me go one, this gentleman right here, and then I'll swing over here, okay?
Right here.
Yes, sir.
General, I'm a pastor with Church of State Media, and I'm just addressing pastors, the issue right now. They have weaponized the media, the Q phenomenon. Bill Johnson's church, which is called Bethel Church, got drug into a mess. There was an individual who actually killed his own son, said things, he had some mental issues, said things like his children were spawned of like reptiles or reptilians of some sort. The media got a hold of his computer, and of course he was a Q follower.
Yeah.
And now Bill Johnson, a senior pastor, and this individual visited his church, simply visited it,
yeah,
was not a member, and this church is now getting brought into the conversation of being extremists. So I just want to ask the question, as a pastor, do we tell our congregants to stay away from this Q phenomenon?
Here's what I would say about it, because I've been accused of it. I mean, Devin Nunez has been accused of being the lead, and I've been, and Roger Stone, and all these different people. It's, you know, what I would say is follow what you see to be true and real.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Don't. But I will tell you that there's a lot of people in this country that are looking for hope,
right?
And they're looking for, and they're going to their, if they're faith based, they're going into their communities and their churches, their congregations for the most part. So a lot of that stuff, and I've said this, I've been pretty public about that. I don't know how many different things. A lot of that stuff is nonsense. I actually think that it's some kind of scam that somebody's playing on the American people. Now maybe because when we talk about you know, psychological operations or information warfare, I mean, so they can, you know, they'll attack me, and I'm sure they'll attack me for this, but I trust what you see. Like, you know, like my old man used to say, believe half of what you hear and half of what you see. Okay?
Yes, sir.
I can see this lovely woman in front of me. I know what she looks like. I can see her. She's real to me. A lot of this other stuff, I mean, there's too much fairy tale and fairy dust that's being sprinkled. But the problem, and this is where you're taking advantage of people that are seeking hope. They're seeking hope, and that's okay. That's okay, because not everybody can do all these things. People just they just want to go about their daily lives and just hope that somebody fixes this thing, right? But it's like I said, you know, this is a republic. We need a citizenry that is an engaged citizenry. Otherwise, we fall apart. Okay.
I saw with my eyes you're a good surfer, sir.
Yeah, it was pretty good. A lot of fun.
I'm Liz Ritchie. I'm with American Exceptionalism News Network.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go back to the conversation about New California because.
And I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Liz Ritchie.
Okay, sorry.
And because in the Declaration of Independence it says when you experience tyranny,
mm-hmm,
it is your right, in fact, it's your duty to come out from that tyranny and, mm-hmm, establish for yourself a new guard. And that is exactly what the new state movements are,
yeah,
is to come out underneath tyranny. It's impossible to get the change in leadership here when you have machines that are voting for people. Although we can go and put ourselves up for office, many of these races are being uncontested because, yeah, there's no opportunity to win. and they're not
being
funded.
It costs you a ton of money, too.
Right. So really what we're looking at is we're going into a gambling casino, literally, and the odds are stacked against you because they've already decided who the winners are going to be. Mm-hmm. So the only way to do this is to come out from underneath that tyranny, and there's a process, as how West Virginia got created, was to come out from underneath Virginia. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to just bring that to your mind so you can think about it. A lot of these large
states... Then you make
states,
a statement. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to cut you off here in a second. I'm trying to be polite, but I'm just letting
okay.
you know.
I'm going to stop. I just wanted you to think about the last, how many states are the target states, and look at
so
their
let's
electoral
just, so let me
college
just, let me just,
votes.
You know, mm-hmm. so take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. This is because this is a passionate issue.
Well,
this is how this country was created.
Right.
Okay, this is how, because we only started with 13, right? And even those 13, I mean, I'm originally from Rhode Island. We were the 13th because we were so against, you know, we were just so vehemently independent. Mm-hmm. So, if you have the people that do that, if you have if there's people, there's as many people that are as passionate about it as you, maybe you'll win the day. I think that the fact that you fight, that you're fighting for this issue, there's enough, I don't know what the size of the body of people are that represent, like that represent your passion. But there's a phrase, 2% of the passionate will defeat 98% of the indifferent 100% of the time. Okay? So you have got to grab hold and let these politicians know, because most of the politicians they'll just kind of chuckle about you're a fringe, whatever. And that's when they start to call people fringe movements, or I'm like, I am so not the ultimate right wing person, if they really knew me, but I'm this right wing, conspiracy theorist guy way over here. That means that they don't know me, so. If all these, they'll describe and they'll box us in through propaganda, through the media, through censorship, through cancel culture, and they'll say, you're just a fringe group, you're a bunch of conspiracy theorists, right? And I think that that's a shame, because that means that they're not listening to a body of the citizenry that actually cares about what's happening. Because if you could change the political environment in this country, if you could change the political environment in California, you wouldn't need to do this. You wouldn't need to do it. You only need to do it because of the sense of tyranny that you feel coming out of your state capital, and frankly, coming out of some of your cities. I mean, it broke my heart driving around when we were lost this morning, looking at these people and the garbage on the street. And I got a video of it. I mean, it's like, because I want to remember it, and I want to show a couple other people it. But it's, there's a barbecue grill out in the street. I mean, this is insane. So that's just San Diego. There's other places, I'm sure. We don't need that. We don't need that. It doesn't have to be like that.
No.
It doesn't have to be like that. The shutting down of our economy, here's another battle that they're going to lose, because COVID, Ukraine, All these battles that they're losing. Okay, every time they present us with some failing in our system, we figure it out. We go, wait a second. The one thing that they can't hide from us is the price of a gallon of gas.
Yeah.
The one thing that they can't hide from us is the price of a gallon of milk or the loaf of bread.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a single mom raising a couple of kids. So you cannot hide these prices from the American people. I'm from the people of California. You can't hide that. So it's like to say, well, it's this guy's problem or it's that guy's problem, or this is the cause of it. I don't really care. We put you in charge, maybe. But you're in charge, fix it. And there's so many ways to fix it. There's so many ways to fix it. Man, don't get me going on water in this state. Let me go right here, this gentleman, and I'll come back over here, okay? Yes,
thank
sir.
You, sir. Appreciate everything you do. I'm Chadwick with Liberty Report. Also do a podcast at our local state capitol with Forbidden Truth Podcast. Jake Angeli and Marcus Cohen. Now, my question, I'm 35 years old, and I speak with a generation a lot younger.
Yeah.
They're afraid of the boomer politicians. They feel like we're living in an age of the Terminator, real-life Terminator. Machines are going to take over. Warehouses are going to be automated. Would you support an Internet Bill of Rights?
Internet Bill of Rights? What's that?
Well, it's what we need to develop. When we came to this country, we needed protection as a freedom of people. Well, the Internet is so all over the place.
Yeah, I'm a big First Amendment guy, so freedom of speech, you know, our Bill of Rights, you know, it covers, a lot of what you're thinking, but I don't know exactly what you're thinking, obviously, yeah. But hold on. So, what I am against is censorship. I'm against cancel culture. I am for whatever you know. If you want to post something, I can avoid it. I can delete it. I think young people in this country. So if you're talking to a relatively younger, you know, the generation, you know, behind mine.
Right.
Okay. Because there's two. So I'm in a generation of sort of like, let's just say 60 to the grave, and then 59 to about 40-ish, 38, 39, and then, you know, and then younger than that, maybe even 59 to 30, and then below the 30-somethings and or the 20-somethings and then below that, sort of three generations. They typically define a generation as about 30 years, a 30-year period of time. So. The people that you're talking to, I think what they need to do is they need to start to really, they really need to dig in and learn about what is happening. But you have to get deeper than just a soundbite or a 2-minute video or a headline. You got to get deeper. I mean, I don't want people to like make a decision about their lives. Right? And like right now, and I can show you at least the person who's got the data, they call it that this is this generation's Vietnam. Okay, in Vietnam we lost 55,000 killed. So the age bracket of 25 to 40 years old, there's been just over 55,000 COVID deaths. And these are vaccinated people, all vaccinated. Okay, so the data's there, I can show it to you later. A guy was on the war room the other day, the regular media won't cover it. And I think that what you need to do is you need to get, and this is for all of you, you need to get these people, like the people that you see here or these other doctors, there's a lot of doctors out there that would love to come on and talk to young people.
Okay.
And they're great. Some of them are here, some of them are get little vendor things out here that just get the word out. Because the main media, the big media, won't cover it. They won't cover it. Even little tiny media markets where somebody picks up a free newspaper at a liquor store or at a breakfast place, you know, down by the beach. You look at those little free newspapers and who owns them? Because they're selling stuff, but at the same time there's headlines and there's information. And you go, wow, this isn't right. This is a lie. So they can look at me all day long and they can say, you know, well, Flynn, you're out of your mind, but don't listen to me. Don't listen to me. Go do your own research. But don't sit there and just live life by a selfie. Okay? Because God help them. I want them to get to at least my age and older, and maybe if they don't have children already, they have children, and maybe one of these days they'll be blessed with grandchildren. And now all of a sudden your life changes quite a bit. Okay?
Thank you, sir.
Yep. All right. Let me come back over here. I'm not gonna ask you. You speak up too much. You shouldn't do that. Yes. It's disrespectful to other people.
Jeff Dornick I host the Jeff Dornick Show on Freedom First Network.
Yep.
Obviously, you know, like last night you were talking about how to a certain degree we need to take back the GOP, we need to get, you know, the right candidates in. I know a lot of people have been coming to me concerned in regards to some of like Donald Trump's endorsements of certain candidates.
Yep.
How do we deal with that where we want that agenda but we're concerned about some of the endorsements that are coming out?
Okay. Yeah, I mean I've heard the same thing. I think because I endorse a lot of people and I tell them sometimes, in fact I usually tell them I'm not sure whether it'll do any good. you know, but if you want it, you know, and I have a little protocol that I go through, you know, a simple protocol to vet and to talk to them, and for some people you can't physically meet, so you talk to them on the phone, and I have a certain set of things that roll around in my mind when I try to decide on that person, right? On endorsing somebody. So, you know, I don't know exactly the protocols that are going on, and I would say that his track record is pretty good. I mean, I think this latest primary in Texas, he was like 33 out of 33, you know? So he's choosing people that are, you know, I have to believe, and I'm speaking for myself about how he does that, that are people that believe in this country and have espoused that. Now, the thing about human beings is everybody's got baggage. You know, there's some baggage that you don't want to pick up and carry forward. But there's other things that have happened in people's lives where, you know, somebody who was homeless, like I have a gentleman who I'm endorsing who was homeless only a couple of years ago, but he turned himself around. And he's got a great business, and he's a businessman now, and he wants to run because he's like tired of it. He's running in a local race. I don't know if he can win, but I think that he's got a good shot. I definitely would love to see him be in that role, because I think that he would be a great role model for a lot of things, you know, and the kinds of the philosophy that he has, the highly intelligent guy. He just had a down. He had some down on his luck for a little while. So I mean, one of the best examples is a guy like Mike Lindell.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you know, so, you know, so you got to be careful. It's like somebody in the military. When I used to judge somebody in the military, because I was up to general's courts martial, right? So I could do, you know, pretty severe damage to people when they came to me, when somebody brought somebody to me to do some type of non-judicial punishment or UCMJ action. And I would look at their, like, the whole person, you know, their physical, emotional, intellectual, their spiritual, and I would talk to them about their families and stuff like that. There was a whole process that I would go through. And I hope that when we look at these people, that's what we go through. We look at the whole person and we say, okay, I'll get behind you. Sometimes I don't know if they're going to be able to win, because I know what they're up against, because I always talk them about, you have the, you know, what kind of fundraising have you been able to do? And sadly, we have a country where, you know, California, they spend billions here. They're probably going to, you know, certainly hundreds of millions. You know, Texas, Florida, you're probably going to see in these gubernatorial races, you know, $1 billion spent in Florida and $1 billion spent in Texas, just out of, you know, the Democrats, Republicans, the other races, the media. I mean, and what just happened up in Wisconsin, where that retired justice of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court just found, you know, when he did his investigation of the 2020 election, very thorough, should look at it, everybody needs to look at it. You know, he also, you know, they discovered this business about Facebook and how much money, you know, the owner of Facebook was paying into like six counties. And some, you know, there'll be accountability for that. There'll be accountability for that. So, anyway, let me jump back over here. Yes, sir.
General, my name is Tim Buffo. I'm an independent filmmaker. And I have a question about the vaccine. You said it's a personal issue, but the military is forcing, you know, another, you know, medical industry too, forcing people to take something they don't want to take. I know people in the special forces are saying a lot of people are getting out because they don't want that, you know, to be forced on them. What is your opinion on that, and how can people work around that, or is there any opportunity?
Well, so, you're asking a question about some things that are playing out. So are you not aware of the legal, of the federal judge that recently ruled, or other judgments that have been put in play? Are you,
yeah, I know
aware
some
of
put in play, but people that are putting it in play, I also want to know what your opinion on why were they doing that? Was there a bigger issue, a bigger reason for that, do you think?
Oh, yeah, I think there's a bigger reason. I think the whole thing is to basically get greater control of this country.
Amen.
I mean, that's...
Weaken our military.
Just get greater control of our lives, right? That's you use the healthcare system. In fact, if you look at and there's documented stuff on congressional record about the rules for taking over a country, and one of those rules is get control of the healthcare system. And that's a shift, that's a movement towards a more socialist system of government. The military, I am so saddened for people in the military, because I know there's a lot, you know, it's like something that I learned, right? There's no atheists in a foxhole. So there's a lot of people that that have legitimate religious beliefs. And they're, for a little bit there, for a while there, they were not being listened to. We finally got people, you know, to help them. Liberty Council is one. If you go to Liberty Council on their website, you can see the filings that they have. You can see their victories. And in this most recent one, where a federal judge basically, his ruling stood. And the DOD kind of blew him off. So there's going to be a legal, constitutional challenge there. The sad thing is the damage that's being done by these vaccines, which is very real, it's indisputable, to our military and the readiness issues that come with that. Now, because people are going to go, oh, Flynn doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm not a doctor. I can tell you one thing, though. I have had, you know, damn near every shot, every drug for overseas. I mean, I'm not an anti-vax person. All you can do is look at my shot record, okay? It's ungodly long. But you know, I'm in a different place. Those that I did take, so as I look back at my military career, we trusted what we were given. Now we're in an emergency situation with COVID, right? And the emergency situation has allowed a whole bunch of normal procedures, normal technical procedures, to be bypassed. That's dangerous to me, as just a person who cares about his health. And I pay very close attention to these things. So I think from the military perspective, if you're there and you know, you're in the military, you're active duty, and you're in the military, you know, because you can be National Guard Reserve, and you feel that strongly about this. You know, like I think it's Teresa Long, who's the aviation surgeon for the Army. She's in a court battle right now. She's part of this court battle. Go look, Teresa Long, Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long, out of Fort Rucker, Alabama. She's a whistleblower, and she's got like hell raining down on her because of what she's done. And she is actually a legitimate doctor. And she's the aviation surgeon for the United States Army Aviation Community. So, and she's a good person. So, I'm going to go right here, ma'am.
Thank you. I'm Luann with Providence Constitutional Homeschooling and New California State.
Okay.
One thing that's very critical to us, important to us, is declaring yourself constitutional. We look at our sheriffs, and sheriffs that will come out and call themselves constitutional sheriff, and those that hold back and won't declare themselves. They say, you know, oh, I support the Constitution, but they won't take that step of saying, I am constitutional.
Yeah.
And that causes us some caution. Would you declare yourself to be constitutional?
Here's what I tell those sheriffs to read. Those sheriffs need to read a very easy book to read. You probably read it in one cup of coffee. And it's called Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrate. Okay, Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrate. And it really does go back, like our Constitution does. It actually goes back to the Bible. If you read the history, and you read the Federalist Papers, and you read the notes and the diaries of our founders. But the Magna Carta is a big it's like a building block to our Constitution. But anyway, the Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrate, I think it's probably one of the best things. If I was, you know, a teacher of sheriffs, I would say this would be one of your mandatory books to read. Because I really think it's an eye-opening, story, because it's really weaved pretty well, about what a lesser magistrate is, right? And I'm a lesser magistrate. You're a lesser magistrate. We are in a republic. We're lesser magistrates because we vote for who are, you know, we're put our these people into office. But I think that sheriffs are also human beings, and they're also political, and they jump from being sheriff to something else sometimes because they think, you know, they get popular, right? One of the things that we have tried to do here, or what we're doing, is we have this line, basically, this phrase, this is about mission over ego. Okay? Mission over ego. Because if you let your ego get in the way, and all of us have egos, but if you let your ego get in the way, and you start to think that you're too big for your, because you get the too big for your britches sort of, attitude, then you stop being why you originally got involved in the first place. Why you originally got involved in the first place is because you felt a passion or you had a mission. And you said, I'm gonna go fix this. I'm gonna go do good. I'm gonna go be a law enforcer. I'm gonna go fight, not crime, I'm gonna go fight evil. Okay? So, but sometimes as people get into these and then power like a narcotic, right? And money and authority. So all those things start to play in. And so I think that for all these sheriffs, because the sheriffs are actually a very strong body of defense, if you will, against this tyranny that we are feeling in our country. I mean, everybody feels it. Everybody feels it. You can't sit there, care whether you're in the media or whether you're in the church. Everybody feels it. Okay, our rights are being usurped because we have an overreaching federal government that we've allowed. So there's no blaming the people in office, even with the machines. So I want, it's like, then go fix that. Put your passion in whatever you guys do here, because that's three questions, I think, out of the constitutional
crowd. Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution, would that...
You're out of my expertise.
Okay.
Out of my expertise. All I know is that I know that our Constitution was created by God. Okay.
Yes.
I mean, it was divinely created, because there's no other way that we've been able to get to this point. You know that the history of republics, from what I understand, my own study of republics, because we're not the only republic that ever existed. The average lifespan is like 17 to 20 years. So we've exceeded that because things are pretty good, But now all of a sudden we have this, this government that's just like, and it's not a good thing. Let me go one more question right here in the back. Thank you, ma'am.
General Flynn, yes, we're all grateful for your service.
Yes.
We're particularly grateful for your voice today.
Right.
Good.
They tried to silence you. They couldn't do it because of your voice and what we're doing here now.
Yep.
I believe we're the mainstream media now.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
To my question, are you going to be President Trump's vice president or director of national
security? What we have is we have a mission that we are on, okay? All that stuff in the future... it's like you don't know, and I've said this, I think, publicly a lot, that I think that I'm good right here, thank you, that your destiny is chosen before you're even born. And part of that is the makeup of your family, the environment that you're in, all these conditions, and then all of a sudden you're conceived, you're born, and now you're here, and you live this life, right? I would have never thought that I'd ever be here. I never would have thought that I would ever have gone. I always believed that I wanted to go into the military. I felt that from the time I was a little kid. My father's retired. He's deceased now. He retired World War II, Korea, and was a sergeant in the Army, right? So I was like, I hung around. I liked that. Always felt that from the time I could remember. But I never thought that I would stay in more than a couple of years, right? And so all these things, all this path, I never would have thought that I would have gotten involved in politics after. And I hate the fact that I even say that I'm involved in politics, because I just think it's a four-letter word. But I got involved, and then next thing I know, I'm in a campaign for a guy who I firmly believe was a godsend, and he, like I said earlier, he exposed a lot. So here we are. The future is only what we make of it right now. My ultimate goal right now, my sort of very short-term goal, is that we get through this election in November, if we have it, we get through this election in November, and we the people, we take back at least segments of our republic, meaning, at my level, the federal level, which is kind of where I'm sort of operating, although I got I'm endorsing people in school boards and election commissioners in states because I know these people and I like them. But I'm also at that level and operating at that level because I want to see us take back at least the House, maybe the Senate. If we get both, great. If we get one, we are given additional space that can be created to then continue down this path of these passions that all these people have in this country. Okay? So my future is, I mean, but I know what they're, what the left wants to do with me, you know? I know what they want to do with me. It was like I said yesterday on the stage, you know, it's because it's in the media, you know, I was deposed recently and I, you know, because it's out in the media, right? I mean, so what I know and who I am is I'm a person who I firmly believe in this country. It is imperfect, but it's the best in the history of the world. And we're seeing all these imperfections right now. We're seeing all these imperfections. So if I can cause one person in this crowd out here, 2,000 people that we have here, if I can cause just one that says Monday morning when they get up, that slot for school board, I'm going to run for it. I've accomplished a mission. I've accomplished my mission. And I run into people at all these events and other things that I do that come up to me and they say, I got involved because of you. Because you said something that sparked me and that makes me feel good. That is like, that makes me believe that we're winning.
Come on.
Right? That makes me believe that we're winning. So, you know, all that kind of stuff down the road or whatever happens, I don't have the energy for it. I don't have the energy for it. We have to, I'm sort of in a, from my standpoint, I like to think, I like to think that I think strategically, but I operate tactically right now. And that's how I'm operating tactically, okay? All right, God bless you all, thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.